and you can sign up to torahmotion.org to hear the stream. Thank you, Rabbi Jay, and thank you, Torah in Motion, for this setup of shiurim. In today's shiur, I would like to discuss a halachic question which seemed to me till a few days ago as a very theoretical discussion, a question which could come up here and there. However, due to the situation of the past few days and the past few weeks in the world, it seems that the discussions are, letzarenu, also a bit more relevant, and they're not hypothetical anymore like they used to be. My question is it permitted under the circumstances to visit people who have a contagious sickness? I have to say that I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to refer directly to corona because I don't have enough information. I don't want anyone to take what I say as any medical advice or suggestion. I'm talking about contagious sicknesses and whether or not the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim still applies under those situations, visiting someone with a sickness that might pass over to other people. I have to, though, before we begin this year, I have to explain something very, very basic, no. Which is maybe clear to everyone, but just to be mentioned, that almost every sickness to some degree is a contagious sickness. If someone has the common cold, it also can be contagious. So when we use the word contagious, it's not necessarily referring to a deathly sickness. We're not necessarily talking about a sickness which can really possess a real threat to someone's life. So I'm going to differentiate when I talk about the different types of sicknesses between regular contagious ones and ones that are actually very, very dangerous. So let's begin with the mitzvah itself of Bikur Cholim. And let us try to understand where this mitzvah comes from before we actually talk about the context of doing it, performing it in a situation when there's a contagious sickness. If you can see in front of you, I have a source sheet. Hopefully you can all see the source sheet. The Rambam in the Chot Avel uses language that's a little bit unusual and creates a little bit of a confusion when it comes to understanding the source of this mitzvah. I'm going to read the source together with you, looking at the first source. Mitzvat aseh shel divrehem levaker cholim. There's a mitzvah midivrehem, which is, of course, referring to a derabanan mitzvah. The Rambam mentions other mitzvot which are similar, nichum aveilim, achnasat kala, etc. And he goes on, if you look to the third line, it's highlighted in black. He again mentions that these mitzvot are derabanan. However, he concludes, harein bichlal ve'avta l'recha kamocha. The Rambam quotes the pasuk, ve'avta l'recha kamocha, and which of course is a pasuk in the Torah, a deoraita mitzvah. And once we read that sentence, we are a bit confused whether or not the Rambam means that this mitzvah is deoraita or derabanan. He says explicitly that it's derabanan, and yet he quotes a pasuk of deoraita. And the truth is that the Ramban really questioned the Rambam because of this, and that is because there are Rishonim, the Bahag from the Gaonim period. The Bahag, when he counts mitzvot, he actually does count the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim as a mitzvah in his list of mitzvot. And the understanding of the Bahag is that Bikur Cholim is a deoraita mitzvah. You can see in front of you that below the second Rambam source, there is a quote from the Ramban. And the Ramban really is puzzled by the Rambam's opinion. Quote, the Bahag, who mentioned that Nichum Avelim, Bikur Cholim, are mitzvot de'oraita. Interestingly enough, the source of the Bahag is not Ve'ahavta Recha Kamocha. Rather, it's from the pasuk, as you can see. I'm going with the mouse over the words. I hope you can see the mouse. As it says, Ba'alochot Otzi'an leMitzvot Ha'ele Mi Ve'halachta Bidrachav Shehi Mitzvat Aseh. As it says, Alechet Bidrachav Malbi Sharomim Ve'chulei, or the Gemara in Sota, which says, Acharei Hashem Elokichem Telechu. וכי אפשר לו לאדם ללכת אחר הקדוש ברוך הוא, אלא מה הקדוש ברוך הוא מלביש ערומים, אף עלתה הלביש ערומים. מה הקדוש ברוך הוא מבקר חולים, אף עתה בקר חולים. The Bahag learns that the mitzvah of ביקור חולים is a mitzvah deoraita, not from ואהבת לרעך כמוך, rather from the commandment of the Torah to walk in the footsteps of הקדוש ברוך הוא, and to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu rachum, afata rachum, mahu chanun, afata chanun. This idea of imitating the characteristics of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, is a very important principle in Judaism. But Soloveitchik points out that it may be one of the most important principles of Judaism. You always try to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way he behaves, in the way he acts in this world. And the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits the sick, we know that when Avraham Avinu was sick, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him. Therefore, when we visit the sick, we are trying to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attributes in the way he acts in this world. And this, says the Bahag, is a deoraita concept. It's a pasuk v'alachta bidrachav, but the idea is a deoraita concept, to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have two possibilities here. Both of them seem deoraita, and yet the Rambam says very clearly, both in Hilchot Avel, the first source, and the second source in Sefer HaMitzvot, that they are derabbanan. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, in his book called Od Yisrael Yosef Chai, questions this Rambam, tries to explain that the Rambam's idea is based upon the understanding that ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha and even ve'alachta bidrachav are mitzvot on chovat halvavot. They are mitzvot that are done with the heart, with the mind, and not necessarily mitzvot that are done in a physical way like shaking a lulav or putting on tefillin. It's the rabbis who taught us how to perform certain acts that will create the certain feelings of havat, harea, the love to a fellow friend, or imitating the Baruch Hu's ways. And that's why the Rambam was a bit hesitant, as if to argue that the act itself is a deraita mitzvah. The act itself may be a derabbanan. The rabbis teach us what to do in order for us to perform a deoraita idea of ahavat harea, of loving your fellow friend. So this is a very well-known machloket and discussion. I'm not going to go into too much more than that. I just think it's important before we start the main question here to understand the background of the mitzvah. No matter what, even if it's a derabbanan mitzvah, it's very clear that Bikur Cholim is a very important mitzvah. And we know that because for the reasons that are given for this mitzvah, we realize how important it is. And what do I mean by that? The Achronim discussed what is really the purpose of Bikur Cholim. What's really behind this mitzvah? Some argue that the mitzvah has an element of curing the patient, of making the patient feel better. When a person visits someone, he is able to somehow make that person feel better. If that's really, by the way, the case, then it could very well be that every doctor, while taking care of a patient, is also performing some mitzvah of Bikur Cholim at the same time. Some Achronim argue that part of the mitzvah is actually to be mishamesh v'chole, to act on his behalf, to help him eat, to help him get dressed, to physically help him function due to his illness, if he's not able to function normally, then Bikur Cholim would be to help him function. Some suggest that a big part of the mitzvah Bikur Cholim includes davening for the chole and praying to Kadosh Baruch Hu to give that person refuah. If that's really true, like I just said now, then obviously it can explain why this mitzvah is so important, because this mitzvah can actually save lives. It can actually take people from the edge of death and reviving them, bringing them back to life. That's why this mitzvah really is a very, very important one. Now, when we talk about, let's talk now about our question, which is, are you allowed to visit someone who's sick, who is contagious, who has some type of sickness that you might come to pick up from that person in front of you? So let's ask a more basic question. Is that someone allowed to endanger their own lives to save other people? The answer, theoretically, is a simple no. We know that the Torah commands us to not go into danger. The Torah commands us to protect ourselves, to not be involved in any dangerous acts. Mm-hmm. Is just one of the famous psukim that is quoted in this context to teach us the importance of taking care of yourself, of your body. And therefore, it seems simple that you would not allowed to be involved in any act that would endanger your life.
If it wasn't, he'd have a whole bunch of people up in arms.
However, we know that that's not completely true, because we know that driving a car to work also, to some level, has some kind of danger involved. Every time you get on a plane, there's some danger involved. What's the head there for performing such acts which also have an element of danger in them? Here the answer is that based upon the Pasuk Shomer P'taim Hashem, there's a Pasuk that the rabbis bring in this context that teach us that a person is allowed to be involved in certain actions that involve a small risk due to the way of the world, which is taking into account that nothing is completely safe in this world. However, if it's a serious risk, then really one is not permitted to do that type of act. Where is the line? That's a pretty good question. The poskim also mention that for people who have a paying job that involves higher risk, they might be allowed to be involved in that job because that is their job. For example, a person who, works with heavy machinery, a person who goes on a crane, for example, which is considered to be more of a risk type of job than sitting in an office, would be permitted because that is the nature of his job, and Chazal and the rabbis really permitted even to take a higher level risk than a normal. Now, if this is all true, this might mean that maybe a doctor would be permitted to work with patients that are sick, coming in contact with patients that are sick, because that's his job. However, what heter do we have for a fellow friend to visit his fellow friend and be in danger of picking up a contagious sickness from his fellow friend? So the answer would be, depends how much the risk is. If it's a very serious risk, then you would not be allowed, because that's really safek pikuach nefesh, v'nishmartem ol nafshatichem. If, however, it's a very small, minimal risk, then you would be permitted, because that is considered to be the way of the world, that we don't necessarily always watch ourselves around people who are sick. Maybe in the past few weeks, we're going to take more precautions. You know, the world that we're living in right now, people are walking around with masks, people are washing their hands more. Just a few weeks ago, if someone had the flu, many people would not have any problem going to visit them and being around them, and people will not be wearing masks around them. Maybe the world is going to change, which is a good thing, of being more concerned and worried about contagious sicknesses, even if they're not as deathly and as scary as corona is. However, I would say that between the common cold and, let's say, some real, let's say something like the contagious, like Ebola. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, as I said before. I don't know. But let's say something really scary like Ebola, which is, I think, a bit scarier than corona, if I'm not mistaken. There are certain sicknesses in the middle, which really is a very good question whether or not you would be allowed to come in contact with the patient. The poskim, when they discuss this question, all refer to a tshuva of the Rama. I'm going to scroll down to the tshuva of the Rama. It's right here in the middle of the page. The Rama, and it's important to notice, the Rama lived approximately 500 years ago, and he lived after the what we call the Black Death in the 14th century, which wiped out major parts of Europe. The Jewish community suffered greatly from the Black Death, even though many times the Jews were accused of actually being on the Black Death. They themselves were victims of the sickness. Many perished. An entire generation of Talmidei Chachamim, rabbis, yeshivot, as well as communities perished in this great tragedy. And the Rama, living after this pandemic, discusses an interesting question. The question in front of him was, Reuven and Shimon made an agreement that Reuven would hire out his house to Shimon for a certain time. Right before they were about to move in the house, Shimon says to Reuven, "I'm sorry, Reuven, I hope it's okay with you, but my wife has some kind of illness, which is contagious." Reuven was very, very scared, nervous of having Shimon's wife enter his house, and he wanted to go back on his agreement to rent out the house. And the question came up to the Rama whether or not Reuven is entitled to break the agreement between them, cancel the agreement between them, whether or not this is a justifiable cause to break off from this agreement. Most of the tshuva deals with ocean mishpat questions. However, towards the end of the tshuva, the Rama says the following, and I'm reading inside. Af im nodeh shezeh shechalta ishto shel socher mikre ones, even if we agree that Shimon's wife is sick with a sickness which is considered ones, which of course is a legal term, which means it's not under his control. What can he do? It's not his fault. Says the Rama, kol sheken she'eino ones shera'ui lachzor beginus. It's not enough of a situation that is a ra'ui lachzor, that a person can break off the agreement because of it. Ki ma she'omer shu'chol midabek kulo hevel. Unbelievable. The Rama says, what's this nonsense of arguing that this sickness that Shimon's wife has is contagious? Why not? Ki Hashem yitala hu ha'mochet v'arfer. Because Baruch Hu, he decides who's going to be sick or not. You think that if the sickness is contagious or not will make a difference? But Baruch Hu, he is the real Rofeh. Ve'im haya ki divrei ha'maskir. Here it comes to our discussion. If you really would accept this principle, that in a case of a contagious sickness, you would cancel the agreement, batel kol dinei bikur cholim. Imagine, the Rama says, if you would accept this principle, then you would cancel all bikur cholim. Because, as we said before, almost every sickness has some level of contagious danger to it. And the Rama concludes, lo matzinu bishumakom, we have not found anywhere, shechilku, that the rabbis differentiated ben choli midabek l'she'ino midabek. We have not found anywhere that we differentiate between types of sicknesses. He adds one line which is very important, chutz mili'inyan bal ra'atan de'asru l'she'bitzilo. There's except one type of sickness in the Gemara called Ra'atan. Ra'atan is some type of leprosy. We find in the Gemara that you should not come in contact with someone that has leprosy because that really is a very contagious sickness, a very dangerous one, and might be very dangerous to a person. However, says the Rama, except that sickness, you're allowed to mivaker cholim. You're allowed, you can't break off an agreement under these conditions because there is no difference between different types of sickness. Some poskim derive from this Rama that the Rama doesn't differentiate between different types of sicknesses. And the Rama would argue that there still is a mitzvah to visit someone who is sick, even if he has a machala medabek, even if he has a contagious sickness.
9907. Okay, or if you want the lesson center.
Personally, I find it a bit difficult to really understand that from the Rama. I'll get back to that a bit later. I don't see it in the Rama. I think that the Rama can be explained very differently, as we will hopefully explain it soon. But many of the post-game, that's how they read the Rama. And therefore, based upon this Rama, they were very troubled with another Rama, which appears in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea. You don't have it in front of you, but the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, the Rama quotes a tshuva of the Maharil. Why is that important? Because the Maharil lived right with the first generation after the great plague, what we call the Black Death of the 14th century. And the Maharil was part of the new generation of Talmidei Chachamim who had to create a new generation of Torah. The Maharil, as quoted by the Rama, says that if dever, what we call plague, if there's a plague that is about to hit your city, you must run away from the city as soon as possible because it is dangerous. You must make sure that you do all possible to run away from this plague. By the way, the Rama himself, at some point of his life, due to plague, had to run away from his own city. And we have a testimony of the Rama that he left the city due to dever, some type of plague that was coming towards his city. Well, some poskim say, oh, what's going on here? In the tshuva of the Rama is not excited about different types of sicknesses. And he says, you're allowed to go be next to someone who has a cholim medabek. And yet, when it comes to an epidemic that appears, you should run away. Some people try to give an answer. I think the answer is quite simple, and I think it's actually right in front of us. The Rama says that when it comes, for example, to Ra'atan, to some leprosy, which he felt was very dangerous, then you're not allowed to visit the person that's sick. You shouldn't come in contact. I think it's obvious and quite clear that the Rama would never permit bikur cholim in situations when the danger is real, and when we're talking about someone who has a sickness that really may be passed on to others and bring others to be very sick. I think that it's quite obvious that in times of plague, like we are today, it's obvious that the Rama would argue that you should not come in contact even for the purpose of bikur cholim. And the truth is that the modern poskim in today's world, when they discuss this question, almost all of them have that understanding in the Rama. I have in front of me here a few tshuvas. For example, the Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner, who also was asked this question. I'll read it. It's right in front of us here on the source sheet. Binyan bikur cholim b'mechamed dabeket shenechlekua poskim v'kor olo. I said, as he mentions here, there's a machloket maybe about the postkim. The Zdei Chemed brings different opinions that maybe you should still have a mitzvah to visit someone with a contagious sickness. He says very, very simple. Humble opinion. He says it's quite simple. that we should hold by the opinion that you should not visit someone who is very sick, who has a contagious sickness. And he quotes the Rama, Kimash Katav Harama. He brings the whole Rama here. He also explains that's talking only about someone who is not as doesn't have a sickness that's really, really contagious, like as we know it today, and therefore the Rav Vosner as well as Rav Avadya Yosef both conclude that a person should not visit someone. There's no mitzvah b'kicholim in a situation where that person has a sickness that might give others sickness itself. I would like to refer now to a very interesting tshuva of Rav Lezer Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer. It's in front of you on the score sheet. Rav Waldenberg, who died a few years ago, who was a big Tamid Chacham living in Yerushalayim, he also was the official prophet of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. And he really knew a lot about medical ethics. He dealt a lot with these types of questions. And this tshuva, he was more interested in the heter that a doctor has to go in a situation in which he is threatening his life and his welfare, and questioning what heter does a doctor have to come in contact with patients that are very, very sick and will with high risk for the doctor to become sick. Unfortunately, this question today is a real question. We know that already I know in Israel, some of the doctors have been in contact with the patients, have become sick themselves, which doesn't prevent doctors, nurses, and the medical become in contact. However, the question really is, what is this based upon? What's the heter based upon? And in the discussion, he also mentions our question about Bikur Cholim, about visiting the sick, whether or not the mitzvah still exists in a Machalam Medabeket. He also quotes the Rama, and he also says very clearly that the Rama would admit and agree that in a Machala, that's very dangerous for people coming in contact, that there's no mitzvah, and you should keep away, far away from the person, if we're talking about that type of sickness. What I find very interesting, What I find very interesting this tshuva is the additional remarks of Rav Waldenberg regarding a doctor and his explanation why is a doctor permitted to take care of patients, to treat patients that have contagious sicknesses. Before that, I'll just point out here, I'll read with you. He says it very clearly. Lefi chilukei hanal yotze lanu. It seems to us shamdubar b'shut haRama. When the Rama in his tshuva was talking about machala medabeket, he was talking al eze ish yechidi shechalav va'avir ina mezuham. He said he was talking about one person who was sick, and it's not that contagious. Aval she'avir gam mezuham. When we're talking about the air is polluted, as if the risk of being of the contagious sickness is very high of getting it. Azai gamaro arama yodesh she'asul likanes lesakana livaker cholim ela alam lizaher lishamer mikol mishmar shelo likanes afilo beshetach haavir hamezuham. You explicitly mentioned stay far away from the person who is sick. And by the way, some poskim actually add another issue. That it's not only that we should keep our distance from someone who is sick, but the person who is sick has a responsibility to tell other people to keep their distance, which is very interesting, which to do with in today's situation, where people who are sick with corona really should be their responsibility to warn others. And this is something that we find in the post-game also. I'm continuing now in Rabbi Waldenberg. And he quotes here the Raman Yeredeya, Sheyesh livroach min ha'ir shedever ba'ir, v'yesh latzet min ha'ir b'tchilat ha'dever, v'lo b'sofar. So really, Rabbi Weinberg does not see, as I mentioned before, a contradiction between the Rama in the Tzivot and the Rama in Shulchan Aruch. He holds that both are really are saying the same idea, that when there's a real danger, you have to run away, you should keep your distance. But if someone has some kind of not serious contagious sickness, that would not stop you from coming in contact with that person.
Demonstration like the airline.
What about the doctor himself? ובנוגיה לרופא, אולי יש עוד לומר בבכלל הציווי הכפול שברפו ירפא is a heter to take care of the contagious patients. And I'll explain. As we know, there's a famous question. What is the source that teaches us that a doctor may or even is obligated to cure patients? Why do I say may, or do I use the language of obligated? Because there are two different questions. May a doctor take care of a sick person is more of a machshava type of question. In a world where in a religious world which understands that if Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes someone with a sickness, then that's his will. Some thinkers were disturbed. How was a doctor allowed to get involved and cure people? That's we know that is not a very difficult question. According to the way we live our lives, we were very influenced by the Rambam and other Jewish thinkers who pumped into our minds that a person must not rely on miracle and we must take care of ourselves and our bodies. However, the Gemara does seem to hint to this question and brings the pasuk v'rapo yirape mikan shnitna reshut larofin lerapot, as if in the Torah says that the person who is sick is permitted to cure himself. This is an indication that the Torah permits doctors, maybe even obligates them, to cure people who are sick. This is a very famous question. I'm not going to go into it more than that. However, Rabbi Waldenberg has a very, very interesting insight here to this pasuk. And he says the Rishonim were troubled. Why does the pasuk here have the word verapo repeated twice? Right? We have verapo, yirape. Just say verapo. Why use the verb to be cured twice? Same pasuk. He suggests, and it's a very original suggestion, that perhaps Torah is telling us that a doctor is permitted not only to cure regular patients, but even patients who have a sickness that possess a threat to the doctor, you still have to get there to go and take care of those patients. I find that quite an original perush of Rabbi Waldenberg. I'll just add, by the way, that a few other reasons that permit doctors to take care of patients. One of them is a very simple reason. He argues, the world that we live in is a world where doctors have to take care of patients. If doctors wouldn't take care of patients, people would get sick and die. There's no way
that we
can avoid doctors taking care of patients, even if they have a contagious sickness. That's a very straightforward svara, which I think we all understand the logic behind that. He also mentions another reason, which is something that we mentioned before, that the Gemara permits people to take higher risks if their job requires it. Doctor's job, the nature of a doctor's job, he gets paid to take care of people that are dangerously sick, and obviously coming in contact with them may possess a threat to him, and that's included in his job definition. That's therefore, that also would allow him to put himself in some level of danger. I'll just summarize the Rabbi Lezer Waldenberg. Rabbi Waldenberg really suggests in Tshuva that if someone is contagious with a mild sickness, which is not very dangerous, you should be cautious that you're allowed to visit them. However, if it's a sickness, which is a very dangerous sickness, then a person should keep his distance. Doctor is allowed to come in contact with such a patient due to the reasons that we just mentioned now. I'll just conclude with one last line about the when it comes to the Tzitzel Yeter. He adds something very, very beautiful, very, I think, very touching, very emotional. He says, however, a doctor, when he deals with patients who are sick with contagious sicknesses, the doctor, before treating the patient, should add a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking forgiveness for putting themselves in high risk, understanding that that's what they have to do, but asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive them for endangering their lives as they enter the treatment of the patient, and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give the refuah, helping them, the doctors, to give the patient the right and correct treatment in order to save their lives.
To say all these different things. Why did it change?
At this point, I would like to add another angle to the whole discussion. If until now we concluded that for people that are sick with dangerous sicknesses that are contagious to others, one should not come in contact for the purpose of Bikur Cholim, I find that in today's world, it's quite fascinating due to technology that we have alternative ways of doing this mitzvah. And just recently with all these Zoom and WhatsApp technologies, we may question whether or not a person is actually performing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim by using these technologies. These questions were already mentioned in the beginning of the 20th century with the invention of the telephone. I mean, that's before the 20th century, but in the beginning of the 20th century, people like our Moshe Feinstein very famously dealt with this question. It's in front of you on the store sheet. He asked the question whether or not a person may be performing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim by a phone. Now, let me explain, because sometimes when we make this question, when we make the question sound the way it does, it sounds as if we're saying to people, and if it's not, then you shouldn't make a phone call. No one's saying that. Obviously, if someone is sick and you can't visit them, then you should make a phone call, you should send a pigeon, I don't know, you should send a letter, you should send a WhatsApp, any type of message is a good idea. What I'm asking right now is the more halachic, as if cold question. My question is, are you actually performing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim on the phone? I'm not suggesting that if the answer is no, then you shouldn't make the phone call. I'm just questioning whether or not the mitzvah can be fulfilled on a telephone the same way it would if you were actually visiting the sick person. People are aware that currently there are very interesting questions going on right now in our community about saying Kaddish and Kedusha, Megillah reading on Skype and on computers. Similar question now regarding a telephone. So Moshe Feinstein in the 20th century asked this question. Oh, I see there's a telephone in the background. That's a great piece of help. To understand what a telephone is. Rav Moshe was asked the following question. Bidvar bikru cholim al yedei she'ela b'telephone. Right? The question was asked, can you visit the sick using a phone? Rav Moshe says, and I'm highlighting here, hine pashut la'anyu da'ati. It is simple to my humble opinion. She'af she'mekayem mitzvah de bikur cholim, aval eino shayach lomar sheyatza yedei chova keva shechiser bibikur ze inyanim achirim sheyesh bibikur cholim. Says Rav Moshe, I do believe that you are fulfilling some elements of bikur cholim, but not the real mitzvah of bikur cholim. Some of them are still missing. If you remember at the beginning of the shiur, we mentioned that some achronim tried to explain the reason behind Bikur Cholim. We mentioned that maybe it could be that part of the mitzvah is to actually help the person get dressed, eat. Now, if that's really part of the mitzvah, And obviously that can't be done on a phone call. You can't physically aid the person in front of you with a phone call. However, if the idea of Bikur Cholim is to make the person feel better, if we understand that the emotional feelings that a person has when his fellow friend talks to him, encourages him, gives him strength in the words that he discusses with him, then perhaps one can discuss that you are mekayim the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim also on a phone. So Rav Moshe really seems to say that there is an element, as we just mentioned, but not the full potential of Bikur Cholim. Therefore, if a person is able to visit the sick, then it's better to actually go over to visit the sick. But if, for example, it's impossible, like in today's world where really we cannot really visit people that are sick, then using the phone would also fulfill part of the mitzvah. I want to point out that Rav Osher Weiss, the Minchat Asher, he discusses this question, and he is a bit more extreme than Rav Moshe about this. He actually seems to argue that you should make the phone call, but he actually argues that the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is not done by a phone call. He understands that, I'll read the Minchas Asher. He says, צריך לקיים המצוות התורה ותקנות חז"ל כפשטות מעשיהן, ולא בכל דבר אזלין בתר תמה. He says, we don't always go necessarily by the reason for a mitzvah. Rather, we are supposed to do the mitzvah as our rabbis taught us, and the rabbis taught us that we must go and visit the sick physically, and therefore that is the correct mitzvah, that is the proper mitzvah, that is probably the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And therefore, he's not so keen to argue, like Rav Moshe, that a certain element of the mitzvah is kept during Bikur Cholim. However, and this is quite fascinating, due to technology, we might argue that Zooming in or WhatsApp might actually be preferable than just making a phone call. I'm referring everyone here to a tshuva of the Minchat Yitzchak. By the way, I was very happy to find this source, an article by Rabbi Yisra Weisinger, who has an article about this topic in the medical journal called Asya. And he referred to a tshuva of Dayan Weiss. Dayan Weiss, who was a Dayan in Manchester, and they made Aliyah to Israel and became a Dayan in Yerushalayim, wrote his tshuvas in the Minchat Yitzchak. And I want people to notice the date of this tshuva, because I think it's quite fascinating. He wrote this tshuva b'mitzvah bikur cholim al day telephone. What day was this tshuva written? Yom Hei Taf Shin Tet Zayin. Taf Shin Tet Zayin, if I'm not mistaken, is 1957. Am I correct? Am I correct? Can anyone nod 56. Or say yes if I'm wrong?
1956.
Okay. So obviously at that time there were telephones, but nothing more. The telephone was just invented. And Dayan Weiss suggests that maybe in the future, if a telephone develops in a way that people will be able to see each other on both sides, then maybe the mitzvah Bikur Cholim will actually be kept the way you're supposed to be doing it. I'll read it inside. He says, "Benogea lindon didan, to our situation, Shapir tzadku divrei kvot Torato, de'im mitpateach." I don't know if everyone can see this word, a television. There are a few, you have to write television like five ayins to get the right word here. In mitpateach a television, l'shimush yechidim, if perhaps one day the television becomes useful like the telephone, v'yeh yecholet lirot hacholeh ulesaperimo, it's mamash a prophecy for the future to a Skype conference call. Dayan Weiss, 1956, suggests that if one day we create technology that we use the television like we use a phone, that a person could talk to the other by seeing his face, ki daber ish el re'eu panim befanim, if we can see the face of the chole, and the chole can see our face, bevadai ein tzachim shire kol davar al shua amiti. Then basically the idea of visiting the sick, of being almost in the presence of the sick person, because you actually are feeling the presence and you can meet him face to face. I will add something that maybe I should have added before. Some people argue that Rav Baruch Hu visited Adam Avinu, and that was one of the sources for Bikur Cholim. God met with Adam Avinu face to face. So some people said it has to be face to face, like Rav Baruch Hu. Says Dayan Weiss, if we have technology that will allow people to meet the sick person face to face, then perhaps the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim will really be a mitzvah that is done the proper way, better than
illustrate.
So I find that quite amazing. It seems that according to what we just discussed,
the state
in today's world, there is a great advantage of the technology that we have to allow us to connect to people, to visit them, and to make them feel better by talking to them. I think that in today's world, almost everyone today in the world feels a little bit lonely right now. We're all a little bit separated in the world because we can't really leave our homes or go to shul and live our lives as usual. I believe that the same idea of what Dan Weiss was saying, that using technology to Mevaker Cholim really allows us to visit the people and to connect to them, is good advice to all of us during these days of just talking to our fellow friends. I think actually that it's probably preferable than just calling our parents and our grandparents. It's probably preferable to use Skype, WhatsApp, Zoom, and to have them see our faces and let us see their faces. I think that adds a lot to people feeling a bit more close to others. It's not just a voice on the phone. And I think that we should use these technologies today to connect more to people and make them feel more comfortable and more and less lonely. So to sum up today's shiur, we discussed the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. We started by a machloket amongst the Rishonim, the Bahag, the Ramban, and Rambam, whether or not Bikur Cholim is a mitzvah d'oraita or d'rabbanan. We discussed the question of modern poskim, whether or not Bikur Cholim still applies in the case of a contagious sickness. All the poskim quote the Rama, who seems at first glance to argue that in a contagious sickness, the mitzvah still applies. However, the way we explain the Rama, due to the Rama's own ruling in Shulchan Aruch, that in case of plague, in case of danger, one must keep distance from plague and grave danger, it seems clear that the Rama would also apply this to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And from here, we went on to discuss in doctors what heter there then do doctors have to come in contact with people that are sick. We made a few points discussing the heter of a doctor. I'll just sum them up. One of them is you said that's Darko Sholam. There's no other way. The world that we live in is a world where doctors have to take care of the sick. The same way policemen and firemen have to take care of people that are in danger, even if it means they're putting themselves in danger. Kahi Darko Shel Olam. That's a very, very simple svara that I think everyone can understand. However, we added Vrapoyi Rape, the special heter of Vrapoyi Rape, may come to include contagious sick people that are sick with contagious sicknesses to allow doctors to come in contact with them. That was the heter of the Ramah for other people. And at the end, we discussed alternative ways of visiting the sick in today's world. We started with a common telephone, which was already brought up 60, 70 years ago as a possible solution for visiting people who are sick, that we cannot come in contact with them. And we ended by arguing that in today's world, all the new technologies really are quite useful.
Yeah, I'm just watching this here on the computer.
That's today's shiur. I just want to thank again Rabbi Jake Kelman at Torah in Motion for arranging this shiur.
Rabbi, I'm here. I was teaching a class. I'm, you know, in school now, so that's why I'm a little bit late. So I want to thank you for teaching, and this sort of our first class. I'm sure many, I assume there are people on our email list. I will be sending out later on today a list. We have a whole bunch of shiurim next week, basically 2-3 times a day. Every day we'll do 8:30 in the morning. I'm going to give a 50-minute shiur on Haggadah Shel Pesach. We'll have a shiur every day at 11 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. for the next couple weeks till Pesach. So I'll send out a whole schedule. And I appreciate any comments, feedback, and suggestions. I want to thank everybody. I see there are a lot of people here I don't know personally, which is great. And Rabbi Tamori, I want to thank you. And I just got the last few minutes of the year. And I'll let you take it over. But thank you very much. And we should all be well. And we should pray that we can get back to, you know, meeting in person. But Baruch Hashem, at least today we have the technology that we can do this, and we should all be well. Thank you very much. Okay,
thank
Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi Tamori. Bye to you all. Bye bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.
As if I was.
And you stood there and turned
him down? Yeah. I think that's the reason he got that. Maybe. Well, he was more preoccupied probably with what he needed it for, but who knows?
Yeah, which is?
I don't know. It's not my place to change it.
Why are you wearing that stupid thing around your neck?
Because I feel like a doctor.
No, it's sticking out. Hmm? You feel like a doctor. Yeah. You don't want to be a doctor today.
Hmm? No. Today, no. Today, no.